to his name.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Certainly we greet you in the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Christ of God, the one who's above all and all is beneath him. What a marvelous and wonderful day it is to be alive, alert, and active, for it is in him we move, live, and have our being. Certainly it's a great day to praise him and to worship him for the things he has done and for who he is. God is great and he's greatly to be praised. It's another day's journey and I'm glad about it. Glad to be in the house of the Lord, in the land of the dying, on my way to the land of the living. And certainly I thank God for these preachers who's sharing this platform, Reverend McCoy and Dr. Walker, and certainly to the preachers that are in the nation, Reverend Mims, Reverend Walker, that's him. Amen. Red wine. Amen. Amen. You didn't move seats. Amen. You got from behind the shield. I see you. Amen. Do we have any other preachers here? Amen. Thanks for these deacon brethren who have blessed us. Amen. This morning in devotion. Come on, bless God for them. Good to see Deacon Green. Amen. Who's recovering and he's here. Thank God for his presence. Good to see all of our deacon brethren and trustees that have devoted us. And certainly to this choir that have sung so melodiously. Come on, bless God for them. And musician. And certainly thank God for all of you. It's good for us to be here this first Sunday in September. Amen. Amen. We are six strong months in this pandemic, and certainly we thank God for keeping us yet alive. Amen. Let me say that again. We thank God for keeping us yet alive. Amen. Could have been, should have been dead, sleeping in our graves, but God saw fit to bless us to see this day. And what a wonderful day it is. I want to thank God for the committee as well. They are working very hard to get us in safe and to make sure we're safe while we're here and make sure we leave in an orderly fashion that we be safe. Listen, I thank God for you sharing this space with me, and we together are praising the Lord's name. And also thank God for those that are sharing with us the virtual space due to underlying issues. They are not able to be here, but we thank God for their prayers and their presence through the virtual services and virtual outlets. So thank you for being a part. Listen, we ask that you remain in prayer for us. God is doing wonderful things, and I'm excited about what he's doing and what he's doing in this season. My prayer is that he won't do it without me. Amen. So I'm thankful. Amen. Amen. God allowing me to be a part of what he's doing in this season. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. The choir sung so well that they hadn't left much mic for me. Amen. Y'all have sung hard. Amen. 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 Just a little joke now. They have sang hard. Matthew chapter 4. Beginning with verse 18, we'll end our reading with verse 22. If you have it, say amen. If you're still looking for it, say wait. All right, and Jesus of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called and Andrew his brother, cast net, for they were fish. He said unto them, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, drop your nets. Look at another that you can stand to look at and say, drop your nets. Amen. That's what I want to talk about. Drop your net. Drop your nets. W.F. Addeny said, Jesus was not content to preach the word and leave it. He desired to gather in a harvest of souls. First effort in this direction was to form a small group of organized and confessed disciples who helped him in his great work. Jesus himself, the supreme fisher of men, drew choice men that he might fit them to undertake the same work in seeking for others. He sought out to work alongside him in the great work of his kingdom. In other words, he could have done it alone. He could have done it all by himself. But he decided not to do it by himself. Sought out men. The text says Jesus was walking on the seashore of Galilee and saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting their nets into the sea. They were fishers of men. He saw two brothers, and they were casting their nets into the sea. They were fishers. They were fishers. Two men. Two brothers. But the text doesn't end there, because it says, after he called them, he went a ways down the seashore and he saw two more brothers. And they were busying themselves mending their nets. He called them. Notice the place from whence he called them. They were on the sea shore. They were at work. They were sharing in a duty to provide for their families. And Jesus called them. Seashore, sandy place, place of grit and grind. Seashore. They weren't uptown in an office. They were on a boat, on some sand, living on the waters. And Jesus called them. Jesus will go to some unusual places to call people. Some of you can be a witness that it wasn't that you were in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. For some of us, we were considerably in the wrong place. Place of dirt. Heard the voice of the Lord calling us. He called them from the sea shore. And you know it was Galilee. The seashore of Galilee. Galilee was his most common place of ministry. Matter of fact, he done so much ministry in Galilee, he was known as a Galilean. It was a place thriving with business. It was a major fishing operation. It was a fishing industry flourishing because there was no other major freshwater lake in the region. And it was a place that drew fishermen, soldiers, tax collectors, reputable and disreputable men and women. My brothers and sisters, let me suggest to you that if we are going to emulate the ministry of Jesus Christ, we have to go where people are. It was a place heavily populated. It was a place that was swarming and brimful with people. Not only do I see the place of his ministry, but I see the people of his ministry. He chose common working men. God can work with common and working people. For Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 26 through 29. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised which have God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God can choose common working men to do his ministry. They were working men. These men were at work when Jesus called them. The text says they were casting. Two of the men were casting. And two other men were mending. They were working men. What I like about this is not the first time several of these men had saw Jesus. Because John the Revelator in John chapter 1 verses 35 through 42 say two of the disciples saw Jesus when John the Baptist gave the great testimony of Christ Jesus as the Lamb of God. You remember when he was baptizing down at the river Jordan. Jesus came moseying along, and the text says he looked up and saw him and said, "Behold the Lamb which takes away the sins of the world." Oh, Jesus, he was seen by two of the disciples, and the text says that while Jesus was walking away, they pursued after him and they followed him. And Jesus turned around and saw Andrew and one and another one by the name of John, or John's disciple, following him. And he says, "What seek ye?" And the disciple said, "We want to know where you live. We want to know where you dwell." Jesus said, "Come and see." And they went and saw where Jesus dwelled and stayed with him the remaining of the day. And John's description goes on to say that Andrew found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." And took his brother Simon to Jesus. They met Jesus prior to meeting or being called by Jesus. They were on the boats. And Jesus said, "Come. Come. I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." There's a symbolism in the fact that they dropped their nets and immediately followed Jesus. You have time to give for me to give you 3 focal points? Y'all quiet this morning. The dropping of the nets symbolizes their acknowledgement of Jesus as a Lord, or his lordship. Every person will eventually come to the realization of Jesus is Christ, or Christ Jesus's lordship. When we look at the text, we notice that Jesus is the promised Messiah who has the right to call men from their normal pursuits in life. The Lord has a right to call you to follow him. The lordship of Christ simply means that Christ Jesus is the head. He is the ruler. He is in charge. He is in control. And the Bible shows us that Jesus is in control. He exercises control over everything in heaven and on earth. Jesus is Lord. He is the one who possesses power over creation. He is the one who possesses power over the universe. He is Lord. He is responsible for creation. He is responsible for redemption. He is Lord. He is Kyrios. He is Adonai. He is Yahweh. He is Lord. And the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the flood. He is Lord. And every soul, whether saved or unsaved, will come to realize that he is Lord. The Bible says that at his name every knee will bow. I don't care if your knees are in hell. I don't care if your knees are in heaven or if your knees are on the earth. You will bow to acknowledge him as Lord. He's Lord. You might as well fall on your face now and acknowledge him as Lord. You might as well give your life completely to the Lord now, because he's Lord. He's in control. He's in charge. He controls the universe. He has power to possess all things created in heaven and on earth. He's Lord. This is the problem with most people, even people that sit on the padded pews on a Sunday, is we don't have a problem with him being Savior. Because none of us want to die and go to hell. We celebrate the fact that he's Savior. You start talking about he's Savior, we get excited. But we get a little quiet. and a little disinterest when we start talking about him as Lord, because we want to be saved, but we don't want to let go and let God have his way in our lives. But listen, if he's not Lord, he's not Savior. Because where he doesn't rule, he doesn't save. And where he saves, he rules. So listen, you got to give your life to Jesus Christ and acknowledge his lordship. Because listen, what you think you can control, you can't. You can't control your life. You can't keep your life. You are not the reason you are living. Listen, you got to look up to heaven and give praise to God. Because where you are, he brought you. What you have, he gave it to you. And what you know, he taught you. Listen, if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you wouldn't be sitting up in here, up in here, up in here this morning. You might as well give it over to him. Because what you think you can handle, you can't. You can't handle your problems. You can't handle your bills. You can't handle your children. You can't handle your spouse. You can't even handle your own life. You can't even handle your own mind. If it had not been for the Lord, you would be somewhere sitting in an insane asylum. But thanks be to God that he's Lord. You ought to look at somebody and tell them, drop your nets and give it to him. Give your life to him. Give it to him. Give it to him. He's Lord. He's King. He's ruler. He's head. They acknowledged his lordship. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And the text says they dropped their nets and followed him. Not only do you see the acknowledgement of his lordship, but secondly, you see the acceptance of his plan. Come here. See, most of us live life according to our plans. Talk to the average person, they talk about what they want to do. And it's very little said about what the Lord wants you to do, or what the Lord wants your life to be. We spend all of our time explaining thoroughly how we want to be this and that. And when we get a certain age, what we want life to be like. We got plans. And now don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong with plans, but make sure your plans don't trump his plans. See, that's why the Bible says that we have to acknowledge him first. Don't lean to your own understanding and your own way of thinking. He says, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Accepted his plan. Jesus says, you're catching fish now. Look at you, you're catching fish. It's lucrative. It's providing for your family. But I want you to do something else. Oh my, that's when we have a problem. When God gets ready to move us from our comfort zone and take us into a place of unfamiliarity, he wants to move us from one thing to another. That's when we have the problem. We want to do what we used to doing. Lord, I'm preaching, Ben, y'all saying amen. And here it is, Jesus comes by the sea to interrupt their life. Drop your nets, give up this. I want to make you fishers of men. You know, sometimes God will come into your life and interrupt your life. Seemingly turn your world upside down. That's how I got over here. Minding my business in Starkville. Lord came by. Time for you to move, son. What? And here it is. 9 months later, he'll turn your world seemingly upside down. But it's really not upside down. It's right side up. Because listen, you are most blessed where God leads you. Y'all just missed that, didn't you? It's really not upside down, but it's right side up. Because when you give up your life to follow after him, he'll never let you give him more than he'll give you. Y'all just missed that. Listen, I just said something. It's worth rewinding and say it again. Listen, when you give your life completely over to him, he'll never let you outgive him. And what you give him, he'll give it back to you better. They accepted his plan. Listen. He says, I'll make you fishers of men. You know, a fisherman doesn't fish with an empty hook or a dry rotted net. See, the empty hook is a symbol of the empty you. See, you can't catch men if you empty. And so what God has to do is put some bait in you. And y'all know what the bait is, don't you? It's the gospel. See, when he God send you out to go, he tells you to go preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Not what you want to say, not what you want to do, not how you want to look. Listen, if you're going to draw men, you need to tell them about Jesus Christ, how he was born of a virgin, how he lived 33 and a half years, how he went to a hill called Calvary, died in your place, and he rose for your good. Is there anybody in here that's saved by that same old story that we tell every Sunday morning, that Jesus lives? That's the gospel. And if you're going to go out into a mean sin cause world and draw men out of darkness, you're gonna have to tell them about Jesus. He's the only one who's able to save, deliver, and set free. That's the bait. You don't go with nothing new. No philosophy, psychology, none of that, none of that science. You got to leave a lot of the ologies off. Now, there's Christology, that's good. And soteriology, that's good. Eschatology and ecclesiology and all of them ologies, now those are all right. But now when you start talking about scientology, just keep it simple that Jesus is the way. Do I have anybody who can be a witness? That Jesus is the way. He was the way then. He was the way yesterday. He's the way today. And he will always be the way. That's the message that he sends us out with. That's the plan. Go preach. Go teach the gospel. They accept it. His plan. But then notice they abandon. This is the last. Their past position. Now the four disciples were fishermen. Fishing was a lucrative, profitable profession. But Jesus called, follow me. Follow me. The revised vision, or the revised version, says, if this way ye come after me. In other words, they had to leave. They had to leave something. they had to immediately detach from something to attach to Jesus. See, most people don't want to detach. They want to hang on to the world and hang on to the Lord at the same time. But I'm here to tell you that you can't bring all that worldly junk with you when you come with the Lord. You're going to have to let it go. You're going to have to detach to attach. Say that with me if you will. You got to detach to attach. Yeah, you're going to have to detach to attach. You have to turn it loose. There has been a detachment to attach. In other words, you got to leave some people, parties and pleasures and possessions. You got to leave some groups. Jesus called you to dissimulation. He called you to be separate and different. He didn't call you to be the same person you were before he called you. He didn't call you to do the same thing you were doing prior to the calling. There has to be dissimilarity and distinction. Not only is there difference, but then you have to count the cost. Most people, especially today, don't count the cost. Counting the cost simply means to calculate what it really takes to follow after Jesus. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, that there is going to be a high cost? Jesus says some have lost their families. Some have lost friends. Some have lost finances. And some have even lost their lives. To name a few, Isaiah, according to tradition, was sawn in half with a timber saw during the reign of King Manasseh. John the Baptist was beheaded, according to Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. He went in and tried to give moral counsel to Herod and his wicked sister-in-law, Herodias. According to the Bible, Stephen was stoned while he was calling on the name of the Lord. And the Bible says that while he was being stoned, that he looked up to heaven and the heavens were open. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I want to tell you that if you stand up for Jesus, Jesus will stand up for you. Do I have a witness? I think you ought to stand on your feet and point to somebody who sits feet away from you and tell them that if you stand up for Jesus, Jesus will stand up for you. Ain't the Lord all right? As I get ready to go to my seat, Jesus is worth living for because he died for me. And I don't know about you, but anybody who gives their life to give me life is worth living the life they give. It's worth living the life they gave me to live for them. Ain't the Lord all right? He gave us life when he went to a hill called Calvary. He died died on that hill on Calvary to give us life. They put a nail in his hands and they put ribbon in his feet and they put a crown of thorns on his head. They speared him in his side and he died that Friday evening. Is there anybody in the room? No, he died. He died until the sun refused to shine. He died until the stars fell from the silver socket. He died until the moon dripped away in blood. He died until the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. He died until a centurion said he must be the Son of God. He dropped his head in the locks of his shoulders and he died. That's not the end of the story. That's good news, because I thank God that we don't serve a dead Jesus. He died that Friday and they put him in a borrowed tomb, but early Sunday morning he got up out of that grave with all power, heaven and earth in his hands. And I want to just ask you one time this morning, ain't the Lord all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yeah. He lived. He's Lord. And he has the right to call us from our normal walks of life. He has the right to call us from darkness to the marvelous light. Listen, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, come give your life to Jesus while the blood is running warm in your veins. Listen, this is the day. This is the time. This is your hour. This is your space. Give the Lord your life. Because listen, after this life is over, it's too late. And no man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man shall appear. Don't be like the foolish man who busied himself building bigger barns for his earthly goods. And the Bible says that the Lord said to him, "Thou fool, your soul is required of you this day." There has to be prior preparation, prior acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ before your head press a dying pillow. Come today if you in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come today. Secondly, if you're here and you're backslid, the Lord is calling you to be restored. There's space between you and the Lord. You're not as fervent, faithful as you used to be. Come, the Lord said, I'm married to you. I love you. And I want to restore you. Come. Thirdly, if you're here in need of a church home, the Lord has laid this church on your heart. Come. Obey the Spirit of God. Listen, I believe church membership is spiritual. God places you where he wants you. And he feeds you like he wants to feed you. Come today. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on. Come on, while the blood is running warm in your veins, there's no purgatory, there's no place in between. You either saved or you're not. And God knows we want you saved. We want your heart fixed in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you'll spend all eternity with him. Come. Listen, listen. Listen, listen to that. Sin.
Sin of the creation. lips of sand.
He washed. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad about that? Jesus.
Jesus paid it all.
All to him I owe.
All to him I know. Sins left the crimson stain.
He washed.
He washed white as snow.
As you remain standing, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I... That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take eat. This is my body, which is remembrance of me. After the same manner, so he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. As oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Every head bowed, every I close. Father, we thank you for this moment of remembrance. We remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Lord, we thank you for these tangible reminders of Jesus' love for us. Lord, we live spiritually through Christ. Father, we come before you to commemorate the death of your Son. Thank you for the new covenant. And all the wonderful benefits we receive in Jesus Christ. Forgive us of our sins. Bring us into a oneness that we will partake of this, both in person and virtually. Lord, as a family of faith, honor our efforts to honor you and respect you and to praise and worship you in Jesus' name. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. That our eating and drinking will not be damnable to us, but Father will be for our good in Jesus' name. Amen. Broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take, eat in remembrance of him. Shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take. Drink as the acceptance of the new covenant. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. Be blessed today. We love you dearly, and may the Lord keep you, is our prayers. Amen. We're under the instructions of Brother Jesse. You can give on your way out, and while we have containers for your cup.